Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man, Mikey Butler, with me, as always. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I spend it with my buddy, Mikey Butler. How's it going, sir?
It's going well. Going well.
Yeah.
Market's green yet again. Volatility down.
Grinding.
Yeah. Disney hemorrhaging, though, to the downside. Bad mouse.
Bad mouse. Naughty mouse.
Not what we're looking for there. But Celsius had a non-move on a huge expected move, pretty much.
So. Well, if you were looking at it this morning, it got down to like 70-ish. Mm-hmm. It was like basically I think it was about an $8 or $9 expected move. So we were sitting at the lower end of where it was at the low end in terms of the expected move. We have seen a little bit of a rally back, which is nice.
Indeed. Yeah, down $2. Disney's down 12, just reaching new lows every single second that I look at it. Not great stuff. It's really interesting to me when you see like pre-earnings 3-day ripper to the upside and then just dump well below where it was before.
Basically giving up all of the move.
All the move for the entire year.
Yeah.
Almost. Since February.
For you, did you close your Celsius for a profit?
I did. Got a little 10 cent profit out of there, which I think would afford me 2 Celsius drinks.
For 10 cent?
$10.
Yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I ended up on the open, I closed out of the 90 calls, so I had 2 of those. I closed those, and then I sold the 85 against it in the May monthly. We had that little bit of a rally, and I ended up just closing the entire position. I had the 80, 85, the 80 long call, which was out in July, and then the 85 in the May monthly that expires next week, I closed out the whole position for $116 profit. So ended up working out for me on that one. Can't say the same with Disney, which I just closed out of the long option that I had. I had 2 of those. I closed out of that, as well as in Palantir, I closed out of a long or a short option. I had short options in both of them, closed out of both of them. Into the big moves, and now I'm just leaning long via close to at the money calls.
There you go. Disney not doing anything there. We can talk about that a little bit today. It is a topical discussion. I closed Celsius on that little rip it had earlier for a 10 cent winner. Basically, it got all the value out of the short option, and that offset the losses on the long option by a 10 cent difference. And then I closed AMD, the trade I put on last week, the 150-170 long-term long call diagonal spread, long July, short June.
Beautiful.
Closed that for a $225 winner. So that was nice to get the timing of that rally. We've had 4 rally days in a row, so.
I'm 50 cents away from closing mine, my AMD 100 rolls. I've been doing in AMD.
Upcoming anatomy coming up?
For sure. I also closed out of Intel. If you remember, we did that little zebra the other day. INTC.
Mm-hmm.
I took 40 cents out of that. Probably missed out on another 10 here with a little bit of a rally. And then I put on 2 new trades that'll be coming in the cherry picks, which is a very interesting one today. We're looking at emerging markets versus the SPY and just versus themselves. So we looked at 1 month, 6 month, 12 month returns. We looked at correlations. So some interesting stuff there in those two. The two that have been the outperformers and the underperformers are China and Brazil. So Brazil being EWW, it's had a really, really strong 12 months or so. I think it's up like 70%-ish. Something like that, 60%. So I got a little short delta there with a short call spread. And then in FXI, which is one of the weakest of the group, it's had a nice couple months here, but it's still sitting at, you know, multi-year lows here. I got long that via an in-the-money long call, don't tell Tom trade. But it's just so cheap. You know, there's no point in doing a zebra and selling, you know, 30, 40 cents. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to take a leveraged stock position. So I'm long basically stock in China, which is not something I usually do. And then I'm short and out of the money or at the money call spread in EWW. That was my like pseudo pairs trade. I wanted to use $200 to $300 in capital for both of them. So I have a $5 wide, I believe, or $4 wide in EWW. Sorry, not Brazil, Mexico. $4 wide in Mexico, short Mexico, against a long China.
Love it. Love it. So you're getting international.
Yes.
That's what I'm gathering.
Yes.
I like it.
Just in time for our international tour.
Yes. It's going to be great. Coming up. See you in London, people. Yes. See you in Seattle first, though. Yes. 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
And that is yet another major for golf.
Yes.
It'll be fun. Yes. We'll gallivant around Seattle.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. glorious. Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
Seattle, May 18th. London, June 8th. And then Chicago. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Park West. Yes. Great venue. Yes. And then Atlanta, Miami, L.A., in Dallas, rounding out the rest of the year.
All the big cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very excited to go to London, though. Very excited.
Yes. That'll be fun. I just found out Dr. Data will be there as well.
Really?
Not presenting, but yeah, he will.
Just chilling.
He's meeting some chilling. Of our colleagues out there.
There you go.
But he'll be there. So,
love
it.
Fun. Yeah. It'll be cool to see the IG offices for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, we will see you there if you're headed there.
Quick little market update.
Uh-huh.
E-minis haven't really moved all day today. They're up 16, 52, 22 here on the E-minis. It's been a 22-point intraday range in line with what volatility projects, which is basically a big old nothing burger. We'll see if that changes. NASDAQ up 60, you got the Dow up 50, and the Russell up 16. So the Russell bucking the trend here. It's the strongest of the group. Oil catching a little bit of a bid after being down this morning. It's up 36 cents, 78.85. Volatility futures haven't moved all day. They're up 2 ticks. Bonds up 26 ticks. You got gold down $9, silver down 7 cents. And then Bitcoin has been kind of flat here from the little bit of a rally that we've had. The futures are up a little over $500. Spot is just under 64,000. Been a grind of a day.
Yeah.
In the market. And yesterday was kind of a paint dry day too.
Yeah. Sometimes you get these days. Next week though, CPI report, PPI report.
Ooh.
That's going to maybe create some turbulence. Maybe not though. But yeah, that's next week. Today, we still have some more products that are reporting. We've got Uber before the market opens tomorrow. I don't know what the deal is with this week, but it's like, what's with all these before the market opens earnings?
Yeah, I know.
Not a fan.
Disney, like, I think this was their first time they've reported before the opening bell.
And clearly it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Down to over 10%.
Yeah.
Uber.
Hemorrhaging.
Yeah, hemorrhaging. Uber down, Uber is down 40 cents now, but they are reporting tomorrow morning before the market opens.
Mm-hmm.
What was another one? Lyft is today after the close.
Mm.
So
a little sympathy play.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. And I feel like there was one more.
Rivian.
Win.
Those are after the close today.
Love it.
Shop tomorrow morning. I got a position
shop
there.
That's what strangle. I was thinking of. Yeah. Yeah, there's still plenty of earnings to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Twilio after the close today. Toast after the close today.
Oh.
Your favorite company. but yeah, kind of rounding out the season.
That is.
The season is lulling us to sleep here. But yeah, got a few more that we'll take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
Namely Lyft and Uber, I think.
No interest in Reddit?
Not really. Like, what are they going to say? We're not public? Like, I don't know what else. $6 expected move for the week. I just have no, I have no pulse on this stock yet. Too new to tell. I think I'm going to sit on the sidelines, see what happens. And the strikes are limited in July and in June, so I'm definitely going to sit this one out. But Uber, I think I can take a look at. What's interesting about Uber, mm-hmm. I did do a news and insights.
Ah, so what's your play in Uber?
Well, what's crazy about Uber is last quarter, they went nuts and they doubled their earnings per share estimate.
Right.
They were expected to report like 40 cents earnings per share, and they reported like 86 cents.
Okay.
But this time around, the earnings per share estimate's lower than what it was last time when they beat 100%. So that's a...
Is that good or bad?
That's a scary thing for me.
Oh, it is?
I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, you lower and then you blow it out of the water. And that's how you do it.
Yeah. I'm scared.
All right.
It's near the top. It's near the higher end of the range. I mean, Disney had decent earnings, and they got blown out to the downside. So Uber's a little scary to me. $5 expected move, though. $70 stock now. When did that happen? Couldn't tell you.
When they got included in the S&P 500.
There you go.
I think that was
it.
Recently.
But, yeah, we can take a look. If you have any trade ideas, pop them in the YouTube chat. We're streaming live there. Just head over to the Tasty Live channel. You'll see this video front and center, and we can explore that in just a little bit.
Cool.
But first, we're continuing on with our mini series here. Yesterday, we got into the weeds a little bit with strategy selection, how you can narrow down your focus based on a number of factors. Here, we're looking at efficiency, buying power efficiency, credit targets for undefined and defined risk trades, and the similarities and differences between the two.
Cool.
So let's...
Common question.
Yes. It is a common question, and it really it's...
Subjective.
It's subjective, but for us, I feel like we don't think about a lot of these things because we're just always trading higher IV products, and that will solve itself in terms of credit targets, buying power efficiency, having enough credit to make sense, to make moves. Like, that's really the genesis of this segment here. But let's lay it out for you. We got a couple slides, and we'll pop over to the YouTube chat. Credit target logic. When you take risk or cap profit potential, another way to look at it, you want to be paid sufficiently for doing so. So for undefined risk credit trades, we weigh the credit received relative to the buying power requirement for that position to gauge capital efficiency. So for us, 20% return on capital is our minimum. I will not place a trade, undefined risk trade, if it's less than 20% return on capital. But then again, I'm never really put in that position, and neither is Nick, because when we're selling strangles, we're selling puts, we're doing it in products that have decent implied volatility, 40%, 50%, 60%. If you're in that range, you're not going to have an issue at all getting 20% return on capital.
Yeah, and that mark applies to like margin accounts
too, yes,
because you're getting a lot of leverage, and so it's easy to get to that 10 or 15 or 20% of the relative to the buying power. That would be, you know, $1 to $2 on $1,000 buying power reduction. And that, you know, just for context, like, I think Uber will probably set up similar to that. Like, Uber uses, you know, if you're going to sell the 65 strike put in June in Uber, it's about $800 in buying power, and you are selling that option at about $1.81. That's, you know, more than enough.
Yeah.
In terms of leverage there.
And that's just on one side of the market.
Yes.
If you sell a strangle, you're collecting $3 and change on $800, which is well over 20%. But for a general rule of thumb, 20% return on capital based on buying power. So in Uber, if my buying power is $800, I want to collect $1.60, mm-hmm. at least. That just puts you in the realm of having capital efficiency, having the ability to make enough money to offset commissions, fees, all that stuff. But it really, at the end of the day, it's more about getting paid to take the risk in a product.
Yes.
We always bring up like TLT and GLD as products we don't sell premium in, and that's simply because...
I think we have the doors open, guys, either the back or something. This one somewhere. If you can close them. I can hear Donnie with his boomer blowing the nose. They're just like... And then I can hear my dad just screaming somewhere around. So, go on, sorry.
Dealing with decent implied volatility products, you're not going to have an issue running into return on capital targets.
Yeah.
And bringing back up GLD and TLT, that doesn't mean we're not going to trade these products, but there's just not much, there's not premium to sell there. Like if you pull up GLD or TLT.
You're talking about
15% IV. There's your issue.
Yeah.
Like GLD selling a 205 strike put for in June, collecting 80 cents for $3,000 in buying power. Like there's no way I'm doing that. And looking at the other side of the coin, if I'm going to trade this, I'm just going to do a debit trade. Like buy a call spread.
Like what I did
in call diagonal.
FXI too. FXI has a little bit higher volatility. It's a lower price underlying, but you know, when you're looking at something that's got 15 to 30% implied volatility, it's relatively low. I mean, that's kind of what the market SPY is typically at. It's at 14 right now. But at that point, there's no volatility value to sell, right? You're looking at options that, you know, are very cheap from an extrinsic value standpoint. And, you know, at that point, you have to kind of lean towards long premium positions because volatility is so cheap. You want to buy that volatility.
Yep. So just understanding that and making sure that if you're selling premium, trying to collect a credit, you're getting paid to take the risk at the end of the day. Yes. Same thing with defined risk trades. It's the same concept, except instead of looking at buying power requirement relative to credit, we're typically looking at the width of the spread relative to the credit. Mm-hmm. So if we're selling a 10-point wide credit spread, we want to shoot for 1/3 the width of that credit spread at least. If you're going a little bit less than that, that just means you're further out of the money. If you're going higher than that, that means you're getting closer at the money. No wrong.
Or time.
Yeah.
Or like time. A 20-day spread is going to trade at $2, whereas a 40-day spread will trade at $3 or $3.50 at those same strikes. That's another aspect as well.
Yep. It'll be harder to get to 1/3 if you're dealing with a shorter time frame. But
neither of these are like, you know, hard rules.
Yeah.
You got to have some flexibility. This is just generally what we target. You know, if we're looking at a spread and it's trading at $2.80 on a $10 wide call spread, it doesn't mean we're not going to take that trade because it's not exactly, you know, $3 at 1/3 the width of the strikes or $3.30, whatever the case may be. These aren't like hard and fast rules. These are just good kind of, you know, entry points.
Yeah, just staying away from the extremes. Like I'm not going to sell a 10 cent spread that's 10 points wide.
Yes.
There's just no reason to do that.
Yes.
You can take a 10 cent risk. You can do something else that will give you much more profit potential. So yeah, let's dive into the next slide. We'll get a little deeper into undefined risk trades here. So high IV products, again, are going to make it very easy to reach opening and rolling targets, which we haven't really touched on yet, but we will. High implied volatility means more potential movement is priced in, which means more extrinsic value premium relative to the stock price. That's going to help you get to your target of 20%, even just taking a risk on one side, like the one we just looked at in Uber. Mm-hmm. Generally, we're around that 16 to 30 delta. We can get up to 50 deltas, maybe sometimes more if we're doing an in-the-money short put or something like that. But usually, we're between 60 and 50 deltas, we'll say. 16 and 50 deltas for almost all of these trades. And from a monetary standpoint, we're looking for a dollar. At least the exception is if we're trading like a $20 stock and we're at like 80 cents, 70 cents, but still we want to make sure we're getting around a dollar at least to give ourselves the ability to reach a profit target of 50% and still have a sizable amount of money relative to getting in and out of trades.
And that's a function of our capital limitations as well. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a lot more capital than what we're trading with on the show, you know, maybe 30 or 40 or 50 cents is enough for you, especially into like an earnings trade. I know Tom does that all the time. He'll sell, you know, Rivian 30 cent puts. No big deal for him. He has a larger size account. For us, you know, weighing capital efficiency in all the trades that we do, we've got to make sure that we're getting paid enough to be in that position and use that capital.
Yep. And the same thing applies for rolling trades. When you're closing an option and opening a new one, whether that's in the same expiration cycle and you're moving the strike up or down, or if you're buying back a May cycle and rolling it into June or July and just pushing it out in time, maybe a combination of both of those things, we still want to make sure we're collecting 50 cents to a dollar at least, because the same concept applies. We don't want to enter into a trade and take risk and push risk through time or get closer to the stock price if that new risk only entails a 20 cent credit or a 30 cent credit. Like, I'd rather just get rid of that option.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that might be harder to do in practice, because almost always we're looking for credits to be received. We're looking for a cost basis reduction. But at the end of the day, if we've already reduced cost basis, like in my Disney position, which I will highlight in a second, I've already reduced cost basis. I've got a big move against me in the wrong direction. There's nothing to do. Like, there's no premium to sell. And I don't want to cap myself or put myself in a position where if there is a reversal, I've just handcuffed myself into a loss.
And at a certain point, you might want to lean directional.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it before, of just the dynamics of a strangle and being on both sides of the market. It allows you to get short at higher prices and long at lower prices. And it's okay to lean directional at a given point. And I know that we have both done that, you know, number of different times.
Yeah. And closing the untested side for like a strangle and straddle is usually the result of a big move against you, which usually means you want to lean directional to a degree, or at least for a period of time. You could re-enter that strangle or straddle after you get a move if it happens, but you're going to pick up way more premium than if you just did it immediately without thinking about it.
Yes.
Moving on to the next slide here, we're looking at defined risk trades. So with defined risk, the big difference here is just that trading higher IV products isn't necessarily going to yield a big credit difference looking at the same strikes, because with a put spread or a call spread, you're selling an option and then you're buying an option that's right next to it. And that kind of offsets your credit received. You'll still see a difference, but it's not going to be nearly as much as if it was an undefined risk trade. So high IV products generally allow us to get further from the stock price and still collect a dollar or whatever our target is. That's going to be much easier to achieve with further out of the money strikes relative to the stock price in a high IV product compared to a low IV product, where premium drops off really aggressively. We're also going to be starting closer to the stock price with defined risk trades compared to undefined risk trades. And that's because our risk is defined. Gamma risk doesn't really apply in a lot of scenarios with defined risk trades. So we can get more aggressive because we know our risk up front. Where an undefined risk trade, maybe we want to give ourselves a little more leeway from where the stock price can move, because we don't know where the stock price can go, and our deltas can go from 20 to 100. Where a spread, our deltas are going to go from 20 to 25 to 30, back down to zero, even if it goes completely in the money.
Yeah, and that'd be a wide spread.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at $5 or $10 wide spreads in SPY or in NVIDIA or something like that, even if they go 20, 30, 50 points in the money, those spreads don't have any delta to them. So a lot of the, you know, obviously the risk is baked into the entry point and defining the risk on entry. And so your management is also baked into that, in that, you know, you've managed the trade on entry by making it a spread and not being naked on that position.
Indeed. With rolling trades, this is where we kind of diverge from rolling up and down. And this is one of the biggest things. This is one of the biggest changes I've made in my trading from when I first started trading to now. When I first started trading, I was
you're numb to the pain.
Well, yes, that's a side effect. But when I first started trading, I would have an iron condor on and I would almost always turn it into an iron fly.
Yeah.
Regardless of the scenario. Now, if I have an iron condor on, I don't touch it. Don't care where it goes, not gonna touch it, because I've realized that yes, you can reduce your max loss by picking up more credit, turning an Iron Condor into an Iron Fly. However, when you go with a, especially a narrow one, like a 5-point wide risk on either side, Iron Condor, when you turn that into an Iron Fly, you are putting yourself in a scenario where you need to be right at expiration and the stock price needs to be right on your strikes for you to turn a profit on that trade. Like, I would much rather take more risk by closing the untested side and just leaning directional or doing nothing, giving myself the ability to have the stock price move between that much bigger range, which is eventually going to yield more scenarios where you're turning a losing trade into a profitable trade versus an Iron Fly that's a narrow Iron Fly where you're turning a loss into a lesser loss, but you're still holding the loss.
Does that ability come from the fact that you're more comfortable with risk, as well as that you've seen, you know, things work out by not managing?
Yeah.
Do you think that, because I think a lot of people are obsessed with, like, you know, okay, this is a losing trade, I got to manage it, I got to do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that after doing this for quite some time, the, you know, the idea that you put the risk on at open and you're comfortable with that, it allows you to kind of lean off, you know, the trade, so to speak, and let it kind of play out. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, especially with defined risk trades. Because undefined risk trades, there's many more reasons to roll.
Yes.
And make adjustments. But with defined risk trades, there's less reasons to do that. Because even if your spread goes completely in the money, your deltas don't change. You are still directional because you need the stock price to go in a certain direction. But your deltas don't get crazy. Your risk doesn't get crazy because your risk is defined. So those things lean me towards taking more risk, holding past 21 days in some scenarios. Like if I see an Iron Condor that's a scratch, I'm not going to roll it to the next cycle and just push myself further out on that time frame where I need to hold it another couple of weeks. I'd rather take a little risk, see if I can get that profit in a week or two or less. And if not, if one of my spreads are tested, then I can roll out in time and still collect a small credit. So like I have the next steps in my head, and I've got a plan for those steps if X, Y, and Z happen. But yeah, rolling trades out in time, up and down, it's not necessarily only because you're narrowing your profit range, but more importantly, you're not picking up a lot of credit relative to an undefined risk trade. If you look at Uber and you look at, you know, rolling a 60 strike put up to 65 in the same cycle or from May out to June, you're going to pick up a sizable credit. Mm-hmm. If you have a 5-point wide spread though, and you're making that same move, your credit is 1/10 of your credit received. Yes. Like you're making the same risk move where your strike is now 5 points higher or 10 points higher, but you're not collecting nearly as much premium because you're rebuying that long option, yep. Which is another reason why a lot of times when you're making adjustments vertically for Iron Condors, you're moving your risk a lot closer and you're not getting paid a lot to do so. So this last point here, does rolling up and down 10 points for a 20-cent credit make sense? Not really.
No.
Would it help you lose 20 cents less? Yes, of course. But at the end of the day, especially defined risk trades, I'm much more inclined to take more risk by holding things, leaving things alone, rather than undefined risk where I'm going to be more cognizant of deltas and break evens and going inverted and things like that.
Well done, sir.
Thanks. Hopefully that helps some people.
What do we do in Uber? I think, I went 1-for-2 in the 1-by-2 diagonal spreads, like I did in Celsius, where I bought one further out in time, sold two further out of the money, like diagonal spread with an extra short call. Is that something that seems interesting to you? You're a loss for words.
I'm at a loss for words. I kind of just want to play this to the downside.
Ooh, I was going to go the upside, so we can fade each other.
Yeah, I just, something about it just doesn't add up. Like, how do you blow out your earnings per share by double and then have a lower expectation the next time around? I'm stuck on that.
Maybe it was a good holiday quarter, something? No?
Well, either way, this is such a small trade that even if you get the rally that you're looking for, I'm going to go to July and have 70 days left for it to reverse. And I don't mind some downside delta in this portfolio.
All right, so what are you doing? You're going July?
Yeah, I'm going to do the July 70 long option. I'm going to sell the 65.
In the three-day?
In the three-day.
For 60 cents?
Yeah.
Kind of a cheapie, but...
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
I do the 66.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost the same debit.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm going to do.
All right, I'm going to fade you.
365.
Actually, so I'm going to do the upside, but if we have a non-movement, we might both kind of make out for a little bit of a profit here.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the 1x2, though, like I did in Celsius.
Just bring that short option in. Give yourself some...
Yeah.
Some neutral to bearish potential.
I don't know. It's a weird strike because you have $2.5 wides in July. Mm-hmm. So I have the 72.5. I think I'm going to do the 72.5, 77 for a $3 debit or around $3, selling about $1.80-ish. If you get these at 90 cents a pop, use this $1,200 in buying power because you have risk to the upside because you're naked that extra call. But if we look at this into tomorrow, I'm sorry, end of the week, you can see this risk profile changes a little bit. Put the Theo on there.
And yeah, if you wanted to play a lift in a similar way, it's the same setup can be achieved. It's just half the cost.
They're gonna squeeze me.
They need that penny.
They're taking nickels now, okay? It's not pennies.
Gotta pay to play, as they say. Yeah, I'm not
318.
Gonna do, there you go. I'm not going to do Lyft. I'm just going to stick with Uber.
Cool.
But yeah, I was filled at 365 for the long 70 put, short the 65 put.
All right. So we have similar amount of risk on.
Yeah. So yeah, Disney's down 1180 right now. I bought the 115, 120 call diagonal spread yesterday for 450. The long option is trading for $114.
Which, are you in July too?
July.
Yeah. I have the 120. I did the one, long the 120. I sold two of the 125s against it for 252 debit. I bought back the shorts for a penny. So I'm out $200-ish, but got this long option. If we get a $5 rally, I'd probably close it.
Yeah. So the 120 short for this Friday is worthless.
Yeah.
The rolling idea, if I were to try and roll this, would be to buy back the 120 and roll to a 115 calendar spread in June, like long July, short June. The problem is, and yes, I would collect 60 cents to do that. The problem is, if I make that move, I am almost surely locking in a loss. Because I would be reducing my cost basis by 60 cents, but...
There's so much time that if you get the move...
Yes. I would have a 115 calendar spread on for almost $4, yeah, which is really expensive. And if you got a move up in Disney, if you just look at the June short option at 115, that 60 cents goes to $4 if you get a 10-point rally from here.
Yeah.
And July...
If you could look at it as the 105... calendar spread.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you make cents. Like 40 cents
yeah.
on that sort of move.
Where if I don't have the short on and I get a 10 point move, my $1 long option goes from $1 to $4. So that's the difference. I've already reduced my cost basis on the long option. I bought the long option for $645. I sold the weekly 120 for $200. So that reduced basis by over 30% right there. Sometimes it makes sense to just hold the long option. Even though I would collect 60 cents, I would kill the trade. The trade would be done. Like we're highlighting here. If you just look at the money, best case scenario, calendar spread, long July, short June, it's trading for 80 cents. It's not trading for $4. So same kind of idea with rolling out in time, up and down. Sometimes you just, when your risk is defined, it makes sense to take more risk from a going forward standpoint. In Celsius, I actually looked at rolling that out in time.
Which one do you have? You have the...
I closed it. I closed it.
Did you have July? 75? 75.85, right?
75.85. So, like, let's say you're still in it right now. The 85 for the weekly is trading for 17 cents. It's basically worthless. Yeah. If you wanted to roll it out in time to, like, let's say the beginning of June, like the June 7th, these markets are terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could just go to the June monthly.
Yeah, you go to the
June roll monthly. For $2.50. What was your net debit on entry? Do you remember?
$8.25. Yeah. So that's a big number.
Yeah, so you turn it into a...
still a 10-point wide diagonal spread.
Yeah.
Collecting
for $5-ish is your cost.
So that's a fine roll. Yeah. Like, that is a completely different scenario than Disney. Even though Celsius is down, it's not down as much, and implied volatility is significantly higher in Celsius compared to Disney, which means you're going to pick up more premium on the roll. So yeah, rolling from the weekly to the June 85, still maintaining a 10-point wide diagonal spread, reducing your cost basis by $2.50 instead of 60 cents.
Yeah,
that's a totally different story, and that's a fine adjustment.
Well, that's because you're looking at something that's got 50, 60, 70% implied volatility.
Mm-hmm.
To get paid to cap that upside.
Correct. So yeah, just going through that exercise, if I had the Celsius position still, I would consider doing that. Disney, can't do anything in there. And if you wanted to wave the white flag in Disney and like make that move, and if you get the rally, so be it. That's fine too. But at the same time,
Might as well just close it.
Yeah. It's like there's no... if you can't make money back on a rally and you can lose more on a nothing, like you're basically putting yourself in the corner of, I can lose a lot more, I can only make a little bit. You want to be in the, I can only lose a little bit more, I can make back a lot after a big move against you, if that makes sense. All right, popping over the YouTube chat. Cullen sold a put for CELH earnings. What flavor is the best? Going to use these tendies to try the drink. I sent you a picture of the Celsius drink I had when I was coming back from DC.
Yeah, which one was it? Which flavor?
I don't know. All you said was to the moon, I believe, was your response.
Sounds like my response.
Yeah. I think I had like a tropical.
Yeah, they have
tropical something.
A lot of their flavors are like
very off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they have a kiwi one, kiwi strawberry something that I've had a couple times. I haven't drank a lot of them. I mean, I've only had them a handful of times. I just know that people swear by them.
Yeah, well, those things have 200 milligrams of caffeine, so...
it just gets you zooted.
Be careful with those.
Yeah.
Zaptown. Let's see. Let's see. Scanning.
Why does my SPX position suck? Because... SPX is 60 points from highs. We still got some time, though. I'm out probably like almost half, $800, $900 almost on this spread. But if we get a 20 to 50 point down move, I think we make most of it back. It's long vol, short delta.
Yeah.
It's, wasn't the ideal time to watch this happen. I think I did this, what day did I do? SPX on the third.
So there you go. So the narrative here is next week CPI PPI comes in hot, market dumps. one day, if you get a 60-70 point sell off,
you're back to a scratch.
It would be a I would say it would be profit.
Yeah, depends on what happens with volatility. If you get like a 16 handle, maybe.
Yeah, but implied volatility increase is going to affect that 50-50 put. Your 4900s are still far enough away.
Yeah, those aren't going to go anywhere.
They're not going to move too much. Yeah. But yeah, I think you need a 60-70 point sell off. But if it happens in a day, I think you get all this back.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit more. Graphics and numbers are displaying clear today.
Beautiful.
Yeah, if you're I would always check your settings too, because sometimes you're on YouTube.
Yeah, we're 1080p now.
Yeah, but the auto, if it's on auto, it's 480p. Ooh. But you can change that to 1080p, and you'll see crystal clear numbers on the platform.
See the beads of sweat.
You can see the beads of sweat. So yeah, click on the little gear if you hover over the video player on YouTube, and you can change from auto to 1080p, and that will be your best bet. You could probably change in your settings too to like automatically stream stuff at 1080p or the highest quality available. Close the Crocs call spread at $40 profit. How did Sosnoff miss this in chat? Such a Johnny.
I know, especially given he wears Crocs golfing.
Yeah.
That was a big thing in the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
Of Tom.
Oh, from the picture?
Yeah.
Jeans too? Jeans and Crocs is a staple look.
He had the zip away
pants. Yes.
You know, like the ones they're, you know, just so you have the option. If it gets a little too warm, you can zip off the bottom part of your pants.
If I remember correctly, I think your dad was running around trying to zip off the pants, and he was running. Yeah, that was the old 19 day. GS turning into NVIDIA. Yeah.
Yeah, we bottom tick that.
It's selling off a little bit.
That tiny
8 cents.
A tiny little red candle at the top.
But yeah.
Another one that's just like, I don't know. Got all the risk is already in.
Yeah.
It stinks.
It really does. Because I'm looking at two big losers in this account, and this account's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Could be doing.
Oh, I got a closing order for Enphase. Put this in this morning. Shout out to whoever gave me this trade.
Enphase.
I had a Iron Condor here, so 135, 145 on the call side, 95, 85 on the put side. I closed it at 237, which ends up being a $75 profit. Nice little scoopy. I just put that in this morning, got filled on air.
Yeah. GS is another one where there's nothing to do. Like,
oh, you're stuck.
I've got the June 400 put, the 390 May 10th, May 17th put.
Watch the stock go from 400 to 443 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. There's just no further premium to sell here until we get a 20 point sell off, if it happens. Yeah. There's nothing to do here. The long option's trading for $146, which tells you that selling anything below it is going to be basically nothing.
Yeah.
So this is just a face ripper that we have to deal with. But still have 45 days. We need some downside movements here. But we're set up for, I think I've got, what, three positions now that are bearish out of the 10 that are in this portfolio?
You need some.
Let's see. Taco the Trader. Twitter seems to be expecting a crash any day now. Not that it really matters, but what is everyone's crystal ball telling them about this rally? Is it just a bull trap?
I don't know. I read everything on Twitter with a grain of salt. So.
At least it tells you now when there's fake news on a post.
The community notes. Community notes have been good.
I love seeing something like really bold, and then underneath it, it's like, this is not true. This has been fabricated. It's like, okay, great.
For me, I mean, I have that SPX position on the downside, but I like overall, I have mostly bullish delta, I would say. I mean, DraftKings is basically flat. Like we can even look beta weighted delta. So SPX, I got a little short delta in Tesla just due to this move. It's actually getting to like where I need it to be. Google, I've got a little bit of short delta, but I'm pretty flat here. Besides the SPX position, I'm pretty flat, which is, you know, the point of that SPX position.
MITS has a 5,100, 5,110 short call spread in May.
SPX?
SPX, yeah, there's nothing to do here. It's completely in the money. We've done segments a couple weeks ago talking about how if you want to defend a credit spread, you have to roll before it goes in the money. So your move here would have been when it hit 5,100 or a little bit below it, you would have rolled from May to June or from May to July. That would have been the defensive maneuver. You would have collected maybe 20 cents, 10 cents to make that move. But doing that move gives you more time for the market to potentially reverse, and you wouldn't be seeing the $8.70 buyback price here. You'd be seeing something less. If you look at a 5,100, 5,110 in June, that is currently trading for 740. So it's $130 less of a loss because you have more time. You're within the expected move, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, this thing has 9 days to go. It's completely in the money. You need a big sell-off. Or if you want to close it for $130 less than max loss, you could do that too if you're not expecting a 90-point sell-off in the next 9 days.
Yeah, your risk-reward moving forward is like $50 of risk over the next couple trading sessions and $100 of potential reward. If you get a 30, 40, 50 point down move, you'll make a lot more back than what you'll lose on that same 30 or 40 or 50 point up move. So for these sort of spreads, I tend to hold them. And if you get a little bit of a down move, maybe the spread goes from trading at 850-ish to $7 and then you get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say, okay, I made back another 150, time to go.
James, praying for a little sell-off here in ES NASDAQ ahead of the three-year note auction. Yeah, I mean, this market's not strong today, that's for sure.
It's been a grind session, but I mean, that's what you get when volatility futures are at 14.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what you would expect. But I agree.
Yeah, seems like a lot of waiting for something. Just lack of ticks. A couple minutes left here. We're in on Uber.
Yes. Lyft, I'm on the upside. You're on the downside, though.
Perfect.
So one of us
will win.
Or we could both win.
Or we
if
could
we
both.
Get a non-movement.
That could work out.
That should probably work out for both of us.
That could work out. That AMD close was nice. It's down now. 30 cents.
Damn, am I going to miss my... hasn't moved. The 160 straddle is what I have in June. Lots.
Is market turning over? Everything on my screen's about to go red.
4-point down move?
Yeah.
From highs?
Is this it?
Yeah, it's over.
Is this the end? Let's see if there's any other earnings today. Any other notable ones? Today's the 7th.
Win,
huh?
Rivian?
I just exited a Rivian trade.
We got bailed out on that. It's had a nice little rally recently.
Rivian trading at 10. Earnings today.
What do we do?
Let's see. Like an 11...
I was thinking, is it crazy to sell the 10 strike puts and wheel if we get a down move?
Yeah. Do that. Or you could do like the 9.5, 10.5 zebra to the upside for $1.80. Protects you from a big blowout to the downside, but. Any Rivian ideas here? What about Wynn?
haven't traded Wynn in quite some time.
$3 expected. No. This is a no for me, dog.
That's a light one.
That's really light. However, you could still get into like a diagonal spread here. But yeah, $3 expected move for earnings. That's really light. 3%. Really light. Normally, we're looking at 5 to 10% for almost every stock we look at. Yeah. Sometimes you get a bigger one, sometimes lower, but it's rare to see a low one like this. Like 380 on a $90 stock, that's really low. They're expecting a big nothing burger.
All right, do I sell the puts in Rivian?
Yeah.
I think I sell the at-the-money puts.
Sure. Weekly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get a down
why don't
move.
I'll just sell the 11. Get a little more juice. A little more intrinsic value boost in there. Still collecting 60
cents.
Yeah,
I guess it's the same 60 cents. Like you have 30 cents. I'm going to do the at-the-monies. 10's a cleaner number.
Okay.
I'm going to try and get 75 cents.
There you go.
And if we get the down move on earnings, I'll take stock, sell calls against it. Wheel.
Wheel. Is Tasty offering paper accounts yet? No. I don't think that's in the cards. Let's see. That's the end of the chat. The chat is...
All right. You got a
shot
position?
With the market. Shop.
Yeah. I have a strangle there, but it might be one that you consider. I guess I could roll up a put there, but
yeah.
I'm leaning tiny short delta here. Ivy rake is 62, 50 to 60, 70, 80% implied volatility.
Yeah.
Into earnings.
Yeah.
Do something. You like it?
I like it. 80, 85. Call diagonal spread.
Ooh, playing the upside.
Yeah. I like Shopify.
Yeah.
I think it's a strong concept.
All right.
They make it very easy to start your own business with a website.
Mm.
What else could you want? In a world where people say the 9-to-5 will be gone in 20 years.
Not us. We're stuck here.
We're stuck. We are stuck. But this is 7-to-3.
It's true.
7-to-3 for now.
Yeah.
7-to-3. Plus auxiliary stuff. But yeah, the 9-to-5 going away would be interesting. I mean, you already see it in advertising. Like people pumping products on Instagram. Like if you're an Instagram influencer or a TikTok influencer or whatever, like you're pumping products all day. That's your job.
You think we could
advertise.
Do that? No. Yeah, I don't think we.
Unless.
I don't think we got that.
It's the Rug Cherries brand. Regal?
Regal Cherries.
You did say, can we put it on record, that you will drink that hot cherry juice one day?
No, I was going to eat the cherries.
You know that's heated, right?
Oh, it is?
Those cherries are
oh, because of the lights there? Yeah. Whatever. Okay. I got a
that
strong
kills the bacteria guy. For you.
I got a strong guy.
So wait, you're going to eat one of those cherries?
Yes, at some point. But it'll be a surprise. Like, it'll
there
be a
are.
Protest of some sort.
Yes. Yeah. Those cherries. So those lights under the cherries are a little warm.
Yeah.
We got them on the show right now.
I don't want to spoil the.
And don't be fooled by the size of those. Those are like 3/4 of a gallon jugs filled with cherries.
Those look more than a gallon.
No, those are about a gallon.
Yeah.
It's about a gallon of cherries.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah.
It's lunchtime. That's I don't want to eat the cherries for
not
lunch.
Not today. Well, are we going to put them on like a sundae?
No, I was going to just stick my hand in there and eat them.
Okay. Make sure I'm here for that.
You ruined my surprise.
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait a little bit more. Let them marinate a little bit more. Like get that fermentation going. All right. Thanks for tuning in. That's it for us. I was filled on that Shopify position. So I got Shopify, Disney. Sorry, not Disney. We need a rally there.
Mm-hmm.
Shopify and Uber are the two positions I'm trading today. But we'll place those on the Tasty Trade follow page. As always, if you want to shoot us a note on Twitter, you can find us there. I'm at Trader Mikey B, Nick's at Trader Nicky Bat. Stay tuned, though. We got plenty more content coming your way on the YouTube channel as well as tastylive.com. And click the link in the YouTube chat at the very top, tastylive.com/newsletters. Get your cherry picks today. It is Tuesday, cherry picks day.
Coming soon.
Yes. All right, let's go have some lunch. We'll see you same time, same place, 11 a.m. Central tomorrow.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.